Today, here in the Daf Yomi Zegmar Nedarim Daf Pei Aleph, we're learning today Leilu Nishmas Sinaj Weinreich, Sinai Ben Leibish, and Abraham Steiner, Avraham Pinchas Ben Moshe. All the Nishams we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We are going to repeat a little bit of the end of the shir from yesterday. I gave the shir at the end of the shir yesterday to answer a question, but today we'll go into a little bit more what the answer was, separate from the answer to the question, but to go in some more of the details, a very interesting discussion. So we'll begin two lines on the top, Pei Aleph Omen Aleph, with the words, the Omer Shmuel. So this is an answer, but we're not going to use it as an answer. We're just going to discuss this subject a little bit more in detail today, go through some of the Rishonim on the Daf and some of the ideas in a little bit more detail than answering the question which we did yesterday, Shir at the end. So Shmuel tells us, the Omer Shmuel, Hai Arbuvisa Dereisha. This Arbuvisa Dereisha, which we explained yesterday, is some sort of a uncleanliness of the head. The words of the Ran are kisheno misarik rosh. If a person doesn't comb his hair, tomid, on a regular basis, as a result, mitoch kach ikar erbuviso bereisha, he'll get things in his hair. He'll have dirty, messy hair. The Mefarish on the Daf tells us, afruris shemiskanes li adam berosho sheino rochets. This is something that will happen to your hair. It'll get dirty. You'll get all sorts of particles and grease in your hair if you don't go and wash your hair on a regular basis. And the Rosh tells us, Mishenu Masarik Rosho, he says like the Ran, if somebody don't comb your hair, Umanakeyu, and to clean your hair, to shampoo your hair, so it's going to have lichluch in it, it'll be dirty. So very dirty, unkempt hair is going to lead, unfortunately, Masiolidei Avira, it's going to lead to blindness. We don't know the actual pathophysiology, how this works, but by doing so, this uncleanliness, this lack of caring for the hair, can lead somehow to blindness. Similarly, Shmuel said, Arbuviso demani, if a person doesn't properly clean his clothing, as we see in the Rosh, in demani, Misha eino mechabes begod of tomid, if he doesn't regularly launder his clothing, some maisi lede shamumis, it's going to lead to maisi lede shamumisa, the Gemara tells us, it's going to lead to a craziness. Shamumisa is a craziness. And the Rosh explains, mitoch chichuk todir nase mishumam, you're going to constantly be scratching yourself because of the dirtiness of your clothing, and this constant scratching is going to give you a craziness. It's going to lead to a dementia. As Mefarish says, shigon, it's going to lead to craziness. And this is kosha mikulam. This type of craziness is worse than the other illnesses that we're going to describe in a moment related to if you don't wash yourself. And this was the proof from yesterday. Rav Yossi held that if a person doesn't wash himself, that's a very, very bad thing. And it's equivalent to death. And therefore, a person has the right to go and save the water that he has to wash himself rather than to give it to somebody else who will, unfortunately, even die of thirst. We'll discuss this a little bit more in the share later on, as this seems a little bit puzzling to us, and we'll have to look for a source for this opinion. In any event, we see here that not washing the clothing can lead to difficulties in terms of your temperament, in terms of going crazy. And the Ran adds, and we'll conclude with that, Kishyesh b'vgodav arvuvis, if your clothing is dirty and it has sweat in it and it has zuham in it, so she'enu mechapsim tomid, if you don't wash it regularly, and then you're going to wear it, v'lovshon kishyeh muzamim, is going to wear it when it's all filthy like this, is going to lead you to be crazy. Maybe you'll lidei shamum v'timohon lev, it's going to upset you. So this is a very dangerous thing if a person doesn't wash his clothing. And finally, the last statement of Shmuel was that if a person has arvuvisa de gufa, if he doesn't wash his body regularly, samais ladei shichnei v'cheve, it's going to lead to these various types of skin lesions. And the Ran tells us, kishigufo mizum, when your body's all sweaty and schwitzed up and it's not clean, you know, rochets tomi, don't wash yourself regularly, maybe yilidei shichna v'kivi, it's going to lead you to have shichna and kivi. What are shichna and kivi? So the Ran explains, ababuos, they're going to be like pustules, hamachivos, that are going to be very painful. Uleli yeshufuos. Now the reason why this isn't as bad as the kibos, not washing your clothing, is because these have ways that you can heal them. However, avoshamum, but the craziness that will lead from a person who doesn't wash his clothing is kashmian, that we don't have a cure for. So therefore, we see from here, almo kivisa alimam rechitza, that lack of washing your clothing is even worse than lack of washing your guf. Rashi on the Morin Kedushin tells us that kivi is something called valnitz, which is hamotziim lecha, it's like a pustule that gives off the pus, umu'usin, and it's very disgusting. So these are, again, conditions that will come if you don't go and wash yourself carefully. Okay, now the Gemara says, Shalcha b'tam is sent from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, hizaru b'arbuvisa. One should be very careful with this arbuvisa, as we just explained all of the terrible things that can happen to it, as Shmuel had said. And likewise, they said, from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, hizaru b'chabura, be very careful about not learning on your own. You should learn together in a group. That's why the Daf Yomi is such a wonderful thing. As the Ran tells us, Lami Torah b'chabura. We're learning together in a chabura. Sha'at talmidim mechadidim zezeh. When people have a question about this, they're going to ask somebody else. If you're learning this by yourself, then you're not going to realize that there's something that doesn't make any sense. When you learn together in a group, you listen to a Shia, you have a chavrusa, so then person says something that doesn't make any sense, so hopefully somebody will question and say, hey, that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, you're able to go and come to the right conclusion instead of making mistakes. And the third thing they said, Hizar b'vnei aniyim, go be very careful with the children of aniyim. Why should you be careful with them? You shouldn't treat them lightly. As the Mefari says, Shlo yu kalim b'neichem, don't treat them very lightly or disparage them, and you should try to teach them Torah. Hizar b'vnei aniyim, shemehen teitzei Torah, because from the aniyim, Torah will come. Why is that? Zoran tells us, they have nothing else to do. They're not worried about their portfolios. They're not worried about their stocks. They're not constantly looking at the Dow Jones to see what's going on. They don't have anything. So they sit with their svarim. Furthermore, the Ran says, because they're very humble. And we know that a person who's humble is going to be much more successful in their learning. Torah is always compared to water, and water always sinks to the lowest point. And we know that if a person is humble, then they'll be much more successful in their learning. Rishu ben Chananya, we had earlier in the Gemara, had said the reason why he was so successful in his learning because he wasn't a handsome person. He had a less than handsome appearance. And therefore, the Torah stayed with him. And he told the Kesar's daughter that the reason why he was so successful was because he wasn't handsome. In any event, so a person who's humble, such as the Bnei Aniyim, will be better in Torah, and therefore, Mehen Teitzei Torah. And where do we see this from? Shneimar, because Pasuk says, Yizal Mayim Midol Yov. The end of the Pasuk says, Vizaru Mayim Rabim. So we see that it's compared to water. Torah is compared to water, always. And in fact, you can see this in the Hagos Vitziyunim. Os Aleph has an additional gears that says, instead of Midol Yov, which means from the well, so you should read Mi Dalim. We make an analogy to Dalim, which means poor people. Shemhen Teitzit Sora. That's one girsa. And then the Ksiv Yad, he also brings down the Ein Mayim El Torah. And as I pointed out, Torah is always referred to as euphemism with water. And therefore, because the Aniyim will be successful, Mehen Teitzit Sora. So therefore, you should treat them properly. He's already been Aniyim. Don't treat them disparagingly. That is going to give us a whole bunch of very interesting ideas regarding why Talmidei Chachamim don't necessarily have Talmidei Chachamim children. And the Gemara says, "Uvnei ma ein mitzuyin Talmidei Chachamim lot says Talmidei Chachamim mibneihem." Why isn't it on a regular basis that Talmidei Chachamim always have Talmidei Chachamim children coming after them? In other words, just because you are a Talmud Chacham doesn't necessarily guarantee that your children will be Talmidei Chacham. As the Ran says, Sha'al HaRov, he says the majority of Talmidei Chacham Einon B'nei Torah don't have children that are Talmidei Chacham. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever done a calculation to see that's true, because you look at many of the Gedolei Yisrael today, so their parents were Gedolei Yisrael as well. So I don't know how 100% true this is, that Al HaRov, but in any event, the idea certainly is that Torah scholarship and being a tremendous Talmud Chacham doesn't automatically mean that your children will be Talmidei Chacham. And the Gemara gives a number of reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world that it's not a guarantee. The first one is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Shelo Yomru Torah Yerusha Ilehem. So the way to understand this first is by the Ran, in Dira Masa Yerusha Ilehem, and the Ran says, Lo Yilam Du Torah. The children of Talmidei Chachamim don't spend enough time to learn Torah. Why? Me'ach Hashem Somchim Sheyerusha Ilehem. Because if it was a Yerusha, so then they wouldn't spend time learning Torah. And therefore, we have to bedafka make it that they aren't always going to be Talmidei Chacham. It's not a guarantee. Because your father's the God of Ladar, doesn't mean you're going to be the God of Ladar. Doesn't mean you're going to be a Talmud Chacham at all. So you have to go steig, you have to work at it. And that's why Rav Yosef says, in order to make sure that it doesn't come to them automatically, they have to go and schwitz over learning Torah too, just like a regular person. So too, just because their father was a great Talmud Chacham, doesn't mean that they'll be a great Talmud Chacham as well. That's reason number one. Now, that's the Ran's reason number one. The Rosh gives another reason, and the Rosh says that Shelo Yomru Yerusha Hilohem, and even at the Ramaskal, he says, Shelo Yomru Acherim. So other people, the people that aren't their fathers, aren't Talmidei Chachamim, they won't say, listen, the Talmidei Chachamim, they're going to have, as a Yerusha, their children. Yerusha Yilochem, Livnei Elu, and therefore, V'lo Matzlichem Anu, in Banu Lumot. And they'll say, well, we're never going to be having children that are Talmidei Chachamim, because we're not Talmidei Chachamim. So in order to prevent that, in order to give everybody an equal shot at becoming a Talmud Chacham, so this understanding of Rav Yosef is that the non-Talmidei Chachamim children will be spurred to learn Torah, because there's no guarantee that they won't get it. Just because their father's not a Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that they can't be a Talmud Chacham. So therefore, whether you say it's that the sons of the Talmidei Chachamim shouldn't expect it as Yerusha, or that the other people should say, we have a chance to get it also, that's Rav Yossi's reason. Shelo yom Torah Yerusha Elohem. Nobody should expect it, they'll get the Torah automatically. Now, we have the Gears at Rav Sheshes, but if you look at Oz Beis, in the Agos Tzionim, it says that it really should be Rav Shisha. So Rav Shisha, Berei de Ravidi, Omer, he says the second reason, Kidei Shelo Yizgadru Al HaTzibur, that they shouldn't lord it over the Tzibur. As the Ran says in that Dibur Maschel, Shem Lo Haisa Torah Posekes Mehem Yogis Daitam. Because if you're a Talmud Chacham, your children are a Talmud Chacham, your grandchildren are a Talmud Chacham, your great-grandchildren are a Talmud Chacham, so then they're going to be lording it over everybody else. Look, we're from such a Yichastika family, and we're all Talmidei Chachamim, and you're not. And therefore, that would make them arrogant. So therefore, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make it, that automatically the children Talmidei Chachamim are automatically guaranteed that they'll become Talmidei Chachamim. In the Mefarish, he brings down Shelo Yizgadlu. He either had a different gear, or he's explaining that the word Yizgadru means Shelo Yizgadlu, which means Shelo Yinhagu Srora. They shouldn't act like officials and officers over the people. Kishiyur Shehein V'Avosum V'Neim Talmidei Chachamim. When a person sees that they're Talmidei Chachamim, the children Talmidei Chachamim, the grandchildren Talmidei Chachamim, they're going to lord it over other people. Alternatively, he says Yizgadru, meaning Kimo Hinichu Lo Le'Avosov L'Hizgadibo, that there was a place left for their children to go and give a pshat in the Gemara. So sometimes we find that later Amora gives a pshat that wasn't yet said by anybody. How could that be? Why didn't the Tanoim say it? What did the early Amorim say? So they said, no, they left a special place for them, so to say, to go and say over this pshat. So this is what this Yizgadru means, that there'll be a special place for them, as opposed to the children who aren't the children of Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, because of this concern, so Rav Shisha Berei de Ravidi says that that is why Talmidei Chachamim don't necessarily have Talmidei Chachamim children. Next teretz is given by Marzutra. Marzutra Omer, Mipnei Shem Misgabrin Al HaTzibur. The Mepharish explains, the Dibur Masa Meshem Misgabrin, the Vaday, Kol Mishu Talmud Chachamim, Menot Talmud Chachamim, Vaday Misgaber. He's going to be very much strong over the other people in the public. In other words, they're going to say, well, look who we are. We're so powerful because we're children of Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore they will act in a powerful way over the people of the public, and that's not proper. So that's another reason. Rav Ashi gives a different teretz. Rav Ashi omer mishum dekaru l'in shechamre, because in a call the people who aren't Talmidei Chachamim chamorim. So as the Mefarish says, dekaru l'in dekaru l'in shechamre shein noagim l'mkavod. They're not going to treat them properly. Hey, you're not a Talmud Chacham like me. Mevazen osam ibnei Torah shebem, because they are such Talmidei Chachamim, they're going to embarrass the people that aren't Talmidei Chachamim, and that's totally inappropriate. And that's why Rav Ashi says that Kosh Baruch Hu made it that Talmidei Chachamim don't always have children that are Talmidei Chachamim as well, because it could lead to a certain arrogance. All of these basic ideas are the same thing. There's going to lead to an arrogance over the non-Talmidei Chachamim and an inappropriate treatment of the non-Talmidei Chachamim. So therefore, Kosh Baruch Hu made it. No, you have to earn it. Everybody can earn it. Whether you're the son of a Talmud Chacham or not the son of a Talmud Chacham, if you steig away, if you really are serious about becoming a Talmud Chacham, you can do so despite the fact that your father may or may not be a Talmud Chacham. Finally, we have Ravina's teretz. Ravina Omer, She'ein Mevarchem Batorah Tchila. This is an interesting teretz, because here it says that they are learning Torah, but they didn't make the proper brachos. They didn't make the three brachos that we make in the morning, both the Ran and the Rosh say. They didn't make the bracha La'asok B'Direi Torah, V'Arevna, and Ashabacha Bonu. So they didn't make a bracha on the Torah. And where is that seen from? The Amar Yudam Rav. They reviewed the same name of Rav. And I see, what does the pasuk mean when it tells us Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yavein ez zos? That's all that we have listed over here. But the pasuk continues and it tells us Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yavein ez zos v'asher diber pi Hashem elov v'yageda al mo'a avda ha'oretz nitzasa chamidbar mibli over. That's the first pasuk. The next pasuk is Vayomer Hashem. Hashem responds to this. Now, we'll have to understand this in a moment, but let's first understand the first pasuk that we just quoted. Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein ezos. So the Gemara says, Dover ze nisha l'chachamim v'lenevi'im, and the Bach adds as well to, in Os Aleph, ulamalachei hashares. So the pasuk in Yirmiyah is saying, does anybody have the ability to answer this question? Why Klai Yisrael is going to Golis if they're learning Torah? If the Jewish people are much better than the Goyim who are persecuting us, how come we're going into Golis? So, Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavein ezos, who is the smart person who can answer this? This is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim. As Rashi on Yirmiyah says, in the pasuk, Mi ha'ish ha'chacham sh'yavein ezos, who is the chacham that will understand this? And then the next part is, Umi ha'navi, that's reference to, Vasher diber pi Hashem elav. And then the last part of the pasuk, The Yagida is a reference to the Malachi Asharis. Umi Yagid, Amo of the Oretz. To what can we attribute the fact that we are being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and Nebuch taken into Golus? Amo of the Oretz. To what can we attribute the fact that we've lost the land of Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says this was asked to the Girsa that we have is asked to the Chum, the Vim, the Vacheds, the Malachi Asharis. Velo Pirshu. Nobody knew the answer until Hakadosh Baruch Hu before the Yatzmo. Answered. Atche Pirsho Hakadosh Baruch Hu be Atzmo. Tosiv in the very next pasuk it says Vayom Hashem. Hashem has to give the answer. Nobody else knew the answer. Al Ozvom Es Torasi Vegomer. Now the Vegomer is Vayom Hashem Al Ozvom Es Torasi Asher Nosati Lufnehem. Velo Shamu Vekoli Velo Holchu Va. So this extra part of the pasuk, which isn't quoted over here, is Hainu Lo Shamu Vekoli. It's a combination that they didn't hear, listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they didn't follow. And on this, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, he said, Lomar, that's what the Bach adds, the word Lomar, to say, She'ein mevarchim b'Torah t'chila. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could know that they didn't make the bracha Rishona on learning Torah. Now, why is that a reason why Klai Yisrael should be exiled from Eretz Yisrael? All the Mefarshim try to explain this, and some very interesting, beautiful ideas are given. And we'll first look in the Ran, where he says, in Dibur Maskil, Dover is in Nishal Chachamim, V'chulei, V'lo Pirshuhu. And if you go three lines into this Ran, he says, U'matzosi b'megila sisarim, Shor Yona Zatzal, the Rebbeinu of Yona, gave us the following insight, a tremendous insight. Dikra hechi dayak. Where do we see in this Pasuk, the Al-Shalo Baruch Hu b'Torah T'chila of the Aretz? Where do we see that this response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, that because they didn't make a bracha Rishona properly, is the reason why we were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael? Because he says, Dim Isa Al-Ozom is Torah Si, Kipashta, Mashma Sha'avdu is HaTorah, V'lo Yoskin Ba. The simple understanding is that they didn't learn Torah. Al-Ozom is Torah Si. Kishanisha Al-Chacham Levim, Lom Lo Pershu, so why did the Chacham know that? Obviously, that can't be the reason. The reason why the Chachamim, why the Nevi'im, why the Malachi Asharis couldn't understand why Klai Yisrael was being exiled was because they were learning Torah. It says the sins of the Bayi Sheni, for example, was not a lack of Torah learning. They learned plenty of Torah. It was the sin of Sin Aschinam. But they learned plenty of Torah. So why were they thrown out of Eretz Yisrael? Oskin Hayu B'Torah. Tomid. Regularly, well, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Hayu chachamim neviim tmeim ama of the Eretz." They were shocked why we're being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Until Hakadosh Baruch Hu bechvodo v'yatzmo, sheparsho Hakadosh Baruch Hu atzmo, shu yodei amamkei halev. He knows what people are really thinking. Nobody else knows what people are thinking. Only Hakadosh Baruch Hu does. Shelo hayu mevarchim b'Torah tchila, that they weren't making that bracha rishona on learning Torah. Kolomer, what does that mean? Shelo hayu sa Torah chashuva. The Torah was a subject. It was no different than math. It was no different than social studies. It was a subject. Okay, now we're going to learn Torah. Yeah, it's intellectually satisfying. It's interesting. And we're going to go learn Torah. But it's no different than if you're picking up an interesting novel. It's no different than if you're picking up a work of Shakespeare. No difference than if you're picking up a chemistry book. So therefore, lo haya chashuva b'eineihem kol kach. They didn't think it was worth a bracha. Wow, thank you Hashem for letting us learn Torah. They weren't learning it for the right reasons. They were learning it because they had nothing else to do. You find an amazing thing. People in the Haskalah, Jewish people in Europe during the Haskalah, so they weren't allowed, because they were Jewish, to go to college. The colleges didn't let Jews in sometimes. And they weren't allowed to do various other intellectual pursuits. So you know what? They were sitting in the Beis Medrash, because that was intellectually satisfying. And they were learning a piece of Gemara without wearing a yarmulke and smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. That's what I think the Gemara is telling us over here. That they didn't give Torah the chashivosh of Torah. It was a subject. It was intellectually stimulating. Umitoch kach, the Rabbeinu Yonah in the Ran says, "Hayu mezalzelin bebirchosa." They don't make a bracha on something that's not important to you, right? When you pick up an interesting novel, so you don't make a bracha on it. It's an interesting novel. I have an hour or two to read an interesting novel, and fartik, I'm done. Okay, go on to the next thing. But it didn't have a chashivas to it like Torah should have. Behind lohochubah, that's what it means when it says lohochubah klomar bechavanasa ulishba. They learn Torah, but they didn't learn it properly. Elu divrei harav chosid zal. The Ran says, this is the Rabbeinu Yonah. Veim noyim, the beautiful words, uruuyin lemish amram, and they're worthy of the person who said it. So that's one of the best understandings over here of what the sin was, that they didn't learn Torah properly. The Mefarish adds another interesting idea. He says, in the Birchas HaTorah, it says, Niya anachnu b'tzetzo'enu, b'tzetzo'e amcha beis Yisrael, lom nitor lishmo. So therefore, they didn't have this bracha of having their children continue to learn Torah and their grandchildren to continue to learn Torah, and that's what they were missing. For them, it was for themselves, but it wasn't to continue to pass on the Mesorah, and that was a grave sin. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I have to kick you out of Eretz Yisrael. The Art Scroll has in the footnote number 18 has a number of other interesting ideas, but we're going to go weiter now. I suggest looking in that footnote for additional reasons as to what it means that they didn't make a proper bracha Rishona before they learned Torah. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Isi bar Yehuda, the great Talmud Chacham, lo also l'msifta de Rabbi Yossi, plosa yome. This great Talmud Chacham, Isi bar Yehuda, was a Talmud in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yossi. He didn't go to the yeshiva for 3 days in a row. So the son of Rabbi Yossi was surprised to see how come he wasn't there. Ashkeche Vardimus bar Rabbi Yossi, Vardimus, who was the son of Rabbi Yossi, went to this Talmud Chacham, Isi bar Yehuda, and said, how come you're not in the shir? Amalei, my taima lo osi mar lebei bedrasha. Isi bar Yehuda was a great person. Vardimus called him Mar, and he says, why isn't the Rebbe coming to the Beis Medrash, the Abba, to my father's Beis Medrash, Hot Los Yomim? You're a regular in the Shia. Where have you been for the last 3 days? How come you haven't come? So I'm a late. So Isi bar Yehuda said to Vardimus, the son of Rabbi Yossi, a question that many of you probably are still having. I alluded to it at the beginning of the Shia. You probably had it from yesterday, and I had this question as well. Ki taima davuch lo yodana hecha isoy. So Isi bar Yehuda says, I didn't understand something that your father said, and that's why he didn't come to the shiur. So Amalei, so he even said, no, tell me, maybe I can explain it to you. Le mamar, my ko Amalei, tell me what you didn't understand from Rav Yossi, and maybe I'll know the answer. Dilma yodana taime, and I'll be able to tell it to you. So, fine. Isi bar Yehuda tells Vardimus, Amalei, ha detanya, this is what your father taught, the following braisa. Rav Yossi omer, this was the end of yesterday's shiur, I pointed it out at the beginning of today's shiur, very difficult to understand. Kivisosan kodmin l'chai yacherim. According to Rav Yossi, remember we had the city on the top and the city on the bottom. The water was flowing through the city on the top and going to go eventually to the city on the bottom. The people on the top, according to Rav Yossi, had the right to shut off the water to the people on the bottom, and there was only enough water for them to go and wash their clothing, or the people on the bottom would have to drink. And Rav Yossi said that the people on the top would be allowed to shut off the water from going down so they could do laundry, even though it meant that the people on the bottom wouldn't have water. And that's what Isi bar Yehuda said, I don't understand that. How could that possibly be? As all of us would have the same question. How can my doing the laundry be more important than him surviving, him having water to drink? And even though Rav Yossi had said that this was life-threatening, this idea of not doing the laundry is so serious that it's life-threatening, and that's why their life takes precedence over the people's lives below, it's hard for us to understand that. And that was hard for Isi bar Yehuda to understand. So what Isi bar Yehuda said then was, there's no way Rav Yossi came up with this on his own. What is the pasuk? Where is the source for him coming up with this svara? So Amalei, so Radima said, I know that. The pasuk says, Umigrishayhem yulvem tom v'gomer. So this is a pasuk that says, Vayu ha'arim lehem, the Levim were given cities, the 48 cities of the Levim, Vayu ha'arim lehem lo sheves, for you to dwell in, umigrishayhen yulavem tom, and the surrounding area around the city, the outskirts of the city, would be for your animals, ulrichusham, and for your possessions, ulchochayasam, and for your other animals, and for your chayos. So he said, this is the drasha. My chayosam, what does it mean? And you'll also have room for your animals. Animals, chayosam, are included in levehemtom. So Ilema, that you really mean chaya, so then balo chaya b'chal behemahu, he. So it's already included. So what's going on? Ela, what does it mean? Ela mai chayosu, it means chayusu mamish, that you'll have the right to live over there? So then pshita, obviously you have the right to live there, it's your city. So what in the world is the Torah adding when it says ulechol chayosam? Ela, so Vardimus told Isi bar Yehuda, it means ela lav kivisa, it's your chiyus in terms of doing the laundry. That if you don't do the laundry, this is where my father, Rav Yossi, got the idea, the shita, that if you don't do the laundry and it's going to lead to this arvuvisa, which we said is going to lead to a death even, dementia, so therefore you have the right to keep that water to yourself rather than letting other people have it because the consequences are so severe if you don't have it. And that's the source for my father's shita. Okay, very difficult to understand, and we go weiter. The Mishnah says, Amar Rav Yossi, Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh. We go back, we had this discussion previously. The Rav Yossi's opinion was that the Im Erechotz, Im Lo Erechotz, Im Eskashet, Im Lo Eskashet, he said that's not called Nidre Inu Nefesh. That, as we've already pointed out, is Beino Leveina, but now the Gemara is going to ask, what did Rav Yossi mean? So the Gemara says, Ibar Lu Yesen Beis Medrash, according to Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi, Mahu Shiyofer, Mishum Dvar Mishim Beino Leveina. Okay, it's not Inu Nefesh, but it is Beino Leveina. Now, we've already asked this and answered this, but here's where I got it from. This Gemara now discusses it. Toshma, we'll bring a Raya that Amar Rav Yossi said, Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh. Yes, they're not Inu Nefesh. However, Avol Dvar Mishim Beino Leveina, Havya, but they are considered Dvar Mishim Beino Leveina. Mar says, that's not a raya. Dilma, maybe, lididhu, kamalu. Maybe Rav Yossi is saying back to the Chachamim. According to you, according to your shita, that it's inu nefesh, lididi, afilu dvarim shebeino, leveino lo havyot. I hold it's not even beino leveino. And what I'm saying is, lididhu, according to you, that musu havyot nidre inu nefesh, you're saying that it's inu nefesh, at least admit to me, oduli, de ein elu, nidre inu nefesh. At least admit to me that they're not really inu nefesh for the reasons that we explained previously. Okay, you may hold that there be no leveina. Okay, I understand that. I don't even hold that there be no leveina. So my, what is the opinion of Rav Yossi? Is it like we've already understood it? It means he holds it's not even nefesh, but it's be no leveina. Or maybe he's saying, I don't even hold that it's be no leveina. That's the Gemara's question, and Rava tells us the answer. He says, Omer Mefer. He says it means that they are Beino Leveina, and the husband or the father, respectively, would have the right to go be Mefer it. So Rava is the opinion that we've been explaining till now. But then we have Rav Huna. Rav Huna Omer, ain't mefer. That in fact, this is not inu nefesh, and it's not even beino leveina, according to Rav Yossi, and therefore the husband or the father, respectively, cannot go and be mefer the neder. We turn to pay aleph omid beis, and let's understand this further. The reason why that Rav Huna said that the father or the husband don't have the right to be mefer the neder, because shalom otzinu shual shemes ba'afar pir. It's an interesting expression. The Ran brings down Shemes Be'afar Pir in the top Ran. He says, "Ba'ofer chafiroso, a fox doesn't die in his own dirt hole, in the dirt that he dug. Shu Dorbo, in his dwelling where the fox dug out a home for himself, so the fox doesn't die from the dirt there. What does that mean? Shu Dorbo Tomid, that's where the fox lives. Shemitok Shu Rogil Shom, since he lives there on a regular basis, Eno Niskal Be'ofer Shaloso Guba. He's not bothered by the dirt that's in that pit." And therefore, what's this comparison? What's the analogy? Kach zeh, this husband too, mitoch shehu rogil, since he's regularly with his wife, so eino choshesh, we're not concerned, he's not going to be worried, shema tikar shelo nima im lo tirchatz. He's not afraid that somehow the hair on her body is going to cause him to be emasculated because it's not clean and it's all dirty and it's hard and it could chas v'shalom emasculated when they're having relations. So therefore, the Ran explains, the husband is used to this and therefore he'll be careful and it won't affect him. Just like the fox doesn't die from the dirt in its own hole, so too the husband won't die over here if his wife isn't rochetz. And that is the opinion of Rav Huna to understand that Rav Yossi Shita is, never mind that it's not even nefesh, but it's not even beino leveina. Tanya Kavasi, Rav Ada Barava. However, we have a brisa that supports the first opinion, which is the opinion that we've understood till now, in that while Rav Yossi says it's not inu nefesh, he does hold that it's beino leveina. And this brisa says as follows. The bar mishiyesh behind inu nefesh, the following things that are inu nefesh, so the husband has the right, or the father, may for bein beino leveina, whether it's even beino leveina, and this is true, bein beino leveina achirim. So for inu nefesh, the father has the right to be made for it, even if it's only beino leveina, and even if it's for beino leveina achirim, which we'll explain in a moment, if it impacts somebody else. She'ein b'hen inu nefesh, but things that aren't inu nefesh, then only beino leveina made for it, then only the father or husband, if it's beino leveina, has the right to be made for it, but wouldn't have the right to be made for it if it doesn't impact him, it only impacts other people. Beino leveina achirim, ain't no made for it. Now what are examples of this? Ketzad, the Braisa says, Omra, if the woman says, Konam peros alai, I ask myself to have the fruits of the world. That's the way we'll understand this right now. She asks herself to have the peros of the world. Sarei ze yofer. The husband has the right to go be made for this, because this is certainly going to be inu nefesh. As the Ran says, Dira Masel, Tanya Kavasa, he says, Mefer, in this situation, bein beino leveino, kigon de Omra, if she had said, Kohenei Peros Bala Olaya, if she said that I asked my husband's fruits upon me, or Ubein Beina Levein Achayim, or if she had said Shasu Peros Achayim Olaya, or if she said other people's fruits are Aser, the husband has the right to go be made for in that situation. However, if she said Konam She'eni Osa Lefi Abba, if she says I asa myself to go and do anything that would give my father Hana, or if she says Lefi Ochicha, or if she says to your brother, to her husband's brother Hana, or Lefi Oficha, or to your father, her father-in-law's mouth, she asks to give Hana to him, or Lefi Ochi, or to her brother. She says, in any of these situations, I ask my Hana to them. Or she says, V'shelo etein tevin lifnei behemtecha umayim lifnei bekarcha. Or she says, I ask myself to go and put tevin, which is straw, in front of your animals, or mayim, water, in front of your cattle. So in all of these situations, the husband doesn't have the right to be made for the neder. Ein yochel lohofer. Why not? So the Ram points out here, Masu Konam. He says, "Shem b'minu nefesh." These things aren't certainly inu nefesh, and they're not beino leveino because they involve other people. And in the next Ram, he explains, "Here Masu lo etain." He says, "Mishum delo mishubado le." She is not obligated to go and do these things for him. We had said previously, "I forgot the perik afalpi asikna the." That the husband can force his wife to do certain things. There are certain obligations that she has towards him. So that's when she didn't bring in servants to do those things. So then the husband has to force her. But if the woman brings in four slaves, four servants with her, so then the husband doesn't have the right to ask her to do these types of things. So the bottom line is, all of these things is not something that she's meshubet to him to do. And therefore, if she makes such an eder, the husband can't go and revoke it. However, if she says, Shlo echol, I will not go and put on certain types of makeup. Rashi, in the Likutei Rashi, brings down, echol means kocheles, which means she puts certain type of makeup on her eyes, nosenes kochol beinei neho, kidei shedomos noim, to make her eyes pretty. Or she says, Shlo efkos, and Rashi elsewhere also tells in the Likutei Rashi, pokeses, which means michalekes sara, she braids her hair, Lekan ulekan, or alternately, he says, Yesh mi rabo se shomim mi takenes sa'ara b'masri, she combs her hair in a certain way, or b'yodeh, with her hands, and others explain, Yesh mefarshin, that tocha k'min botzek aponeh, she puts some sort of a dough on her face, ukshenot lo madim abosu, this is some type of a rouge that will go and make her face ruddy and red and beautiful in appearance. So if the woman says, I won't put on these various types of makeups or comb my hair in a certain way, shol echol, shol efkos, or she says, I will not have relations with the husband. So then, certainly, that's beino leveino, and yofer mishum devarim shebeino leveino. So he would have the right to go be made for it in that situation. If she says, shlo atzia l'cho mitoscha, I will not make your bed for you. Or she says, shlo emzog l'cho esakos, I will not go and pour a cup of wine for you. They used to have wine that was needed to be diluted. It was concentrated, and they were diluted. Remember, we had previously, a dilution is either 3-1 or sometimes 2-1. There's certain dilutions to make the wine appropriately potable. So therefore, if she says, I won't do that for you, or she says, shlo erchatz l'cho panecha, yodecha ralecha, I won't go and wash your hands, your face, or your feet, so then the husband doesn't even have to be made for that neder. Ain't tzorach l'hafer, because as the Ran points out over here, in the Ran that we just learned a moment ago, in Dibur HaMaschil, shlo etein, and that was quoting the Gemara that we had previously, that even if she brings in four servants, these are things that endear a husband and a wife to each other. So even if she brings in servants, these are all things that she has to do for her husband, despite the fact that she has lots of servants that she brought in. And therefore, she's meshubit to him for that, and she can't say, I won't do this, and therefore, ain't tzorich lohafer. He doesn't even have to go and be made for the nether in that situation. And along comes Rabban Gamliel, and he adds, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Yofer, no, he should go and be made for the nether, even though technically it's not chal, because even though it's not chal, she still is desecrating her word. Shenema lo yachel dvaro. The pasuk tells us that don't go back on your word, and even though it's not chal, so he still shouldn't allow her to go and desecrate her word, even though technically it's not chal. So while it's not a real nether, but she's still going against what she said, so therefore he should revoke what she said. Alternatively, Doracher, when the pasuk says Lo Yechel Dvaro, it means a different drasha. Mikan Luchokem Shein Matir Nidre Atzmo, that you cannot be Mechel your own Dvar. You can't go and desanctify what you said. In other words, you can't make your own Hataras the Dvarim. But even a Talmud Chacham has to go to a Beis Din, or to at least the Yochid Mumcha. Although today, again, as I pointed out the other day, we don't have a Yochid Mumcha. Everybody is considered a hedgeot in this regard, and has to be a basin of three. So even a Talmud Chacham can't be mechel his own neder. He can't go and be mevatel his own neder. He has to go and have a basin of three, do hataras the darm four. Okay. Now the Gemara says, how is this a proof to Avadu Rava? So the Gemara says, man shaminan, who is the author over here? The Omar shalo echo v'lusho efkos, that in this brisa, who is the author that says, if the woman says, I will not go and put on these various types of makeups, the husband has the right to be made for it. So, these are dvarim shebeino leveino havyon. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And you see, it says, uktani de meifer, mishum dvarim shebeino leveino. So here, clearly, we find a raya that Rabbi Yossi does hold that dvarim shebeino leveino, the husband has the right to go and be made for. So, therefore, this is the proof to Rav Adam Arava, and this is the way we understand Rabbi Yossi's shita. Now we go back and repeat what we just learned. Omar Mar, Vishaloa Shamish Mitosi, Yofi Mishum Dvorm Shabino Levino. That we said that the husband has the right to, in this situation, be made for, because this is Dvorm Shabino Levino. If the wife says, I will not have relations with you. So the Gemara says, how can that possibly be? Hey, Chidomi. Elaim, if you're going to tell me that she said the Omra, Hanoas Tash Mishi Olecha, that I ask you to get Hanoah from me, said, why should it need Hafara? Loma Li Hafara. This is a Shibud that she has to her husband, and she doesn't have the right to. One-sided go and say, you're not going to have relations with me. I ask my relations on you. She doesn't have the right to do that. Ha, mishu bedisle. This is part of the marriage. And you can't have one party just say, I'm not going to have relations with you. So therefore, that can't be what it's talking about. So why does this situation need hafara? Because she said, Ella be'omeres, hanoas tash mishcha olai. What she can say, albeit it won't be effective, but she does say it, that your hanoa to me is also to me. And therefore, technically, it doesn't take effect. But uchid Rav Kana, this goes like the sheet of Rav Kana, Dabar Rav Kahana, Hanoas Tashishi Olecha. The woman says, I ask you to get Hanoah for me, so she can't do that to her husband. And in turn, Kofa Umisham Shiso. He can go and have relations with her, even though she said that neder. But the other way around, if she said, Hanoas Tashmishcho Olai, if she said, I ask myself to get Hanoah from you, so then he should be made for it, because even though technically he can still have relations with her, Shein Machilin Esodim Dover Oslo, but she's not allowed to have relations with him. So he could technically have relations with her, but when he's having relations with her, he's causing her to be over her nether, so therefore he should be made for her nether, and this way he can have relations with her without her being over her nether. Gemara continues and says, "Man Tano Detanya, who's the author of the following brayso? Dvarim hamutarim v'acherim nagu b'misur. If something was technically mutter to do, but there were people that were either machmir or they mistakenly thought it was also to do, you are not allowed. Iator rashai, you can't go linog b'hem heter kidei levatlan. So these people had a custom that they wouldn't eat a certain food, but you know that that either was halachically incorrect or that custom made no sense." And therefore, you go eat that food in front of them in order that they should stop that practice. You don't have the right to do that. Mishum shenemar lo yachel devoro. Because even though they are doing something which technically, halachically, is not required, but they said they're not going to do this by their acting in that way. That's their custom. It's as if they've made a neder. When a person does something a couple of times, sometimes even one time, and they don't say bli neder, it's as if they're now saying this is the rule. And therefore, they shouldn't go against what their words are, so you shouldn't go and just simply make them stop doing what their custom was. Alternatively, dover acha means lo yachal dvaro, so mikam tamul chacham shein mei for nidri atzmo, and tamul chacham shouldn't go be mei for his own nidarm, but he should go do ataras nidarm. That's the other drasha from over here. Now, who is the author of this brisa? Mani, Rabbi Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, which is exactly the Rabbi Gamliel that we had a moment ago. Mark continues and says, "Boy, minei Rav, minei Rav Nachman. Rav asks Rav Nachman the following shaila: Tash b'shamit l'rabbanon, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that both inu nefesh and dvarim should be no levino, the husband has the right to be meper. How do we view tash b'shamita? Do we say it's inu nefeshu, or do we say odvarim should be no levino? Which one is it? Is that something that's considered an affliction, and therefore they can be meper because of inu nefesh with the dinim that apply to inu nefesh, or do we say no, it's only dvarim shebeino leveino, and it has a different set of dinim, albeit the husband has the right to be made for it?" So Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded to Rav, and he said, "Tinisua, we will learn this in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Omud Beis, and it says over there, if a woman says, Nitula ani min hayehudim, If a woman says, I ask myself to have relations basically with any person, as the Ranik brings down, she basically saying, it's very painful to me to have relations, and therefore, I ask myself to have relations with anybody, not only her husband. She says, I ask myself to have relations with anybody. Even if my husband would divorce me, I would ask myself to have relations with anybody else because it's so painful. She has a condition called dyspareunia, which is painful intercourse. So she says, and we turn to Beis Amud Aleph. Nevertheless, Yofer Chalko, the husband has the right to go and be made for the chelik that applies to him. In other words, the fact that she asked relations with anybody in the world, including him, so he has the right to be made for the part that deals with him and have relations with her, umisham shoso, and he can then have relations with her. However, if he divorces her, if he dies, utei netula min ayuda, but he doesn't have the right to be made for it for other people. So what do you see from here? V'yamris neder inu nefesh, if this was a neder of inu nefesh, so then he would have the right to go and be made for it for other people as well. But since it says unatulim in a Yehudim still in this situation, so am I taking unatulim in a Yehudim? If it was inu nefesh, she wouldn't be unatulim in a Yehudim. Oh, shma mino. We see from here, dvarim shebeino leveino havyon, that this is in fact dvarim shebeino leveino, and therefore he only has the right to be made for himself, but not for other people. So that's what the Gemara wants to suggest. That's Reb Nachman's teretz to Rava. The Gemara says no, leRabbanan tibaylach. No, you could still ask the question according to Rabbanan. Mishum dinatul ani mina Yehudim is only Rav Yossi k'tani law. This is only according to the opinion of Rav Yossi. Now Rav Yossi says it's not inu nefesh. He clearly says it's beino leveina. So this is clearly understood to be the opinion of Rav Yossi. But we still don't know what the opinion is of the Chachamim. So Rav's question is still a valid question. What is the sheet of the Rabbanan? Is it inu nefesh or is it beino leveina? Because how do we know that this is the opinion of Rav Yossi? Because the Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Kula Pirkin Rav Yossi. Our entire parak from this point and on, from our Mishnah, from yesterday and on, is all the opinion of Yossi. How do we know that? Mimai. So the Gemara says, because Kivan Diktani, now we'll finally explain why it started off by telling us, Rav Yossi Omer, Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh. Rav Yossi had said, no. Im Erechatz, Im Lo Erechatz, Im Eskashet, Im Lo Eskashet. That's not Inu Nefesh, that's Beno Leveno. And then at the end of the Mishnah it said, Lama Le Su Le Misna, why should it then say at the end of the Mishnah, Harei Ze Yofer, the husband has the right to be Mefer? Divrei Rav Yossi. It repeats again that this is the opinion of Rav Yossi. Ah, what this is telling us is Shma Mina Mikan Va'elich Rav Yossi. This Divrei Rav Yossi is going on the rest of the perek. All the other Mishnais in this perek are all the words of Rav Yossi. Ah, so this Mishnah on Daf Tzadi on the base, which is almost at the end of the Masechta, but it's still in the end of this perek. The 11th perek is the last perek over here in the Darim. So therefore, this Mishnah is all going to be the opinion of Rav Yossi. So all you've done right now is shown us that, according to Rav Yossi, clearly it's Beino Leveino. So he can only be made for it for himself. He can't be made for it for the rest of the world. And therefore, Utei Netulim and Yehuda, if he divorces or if he dies. So we don't have an answer. This is the Abaye the Lov Shita Leis. You look in the Ran, the Ramasu Linin Halacha. He says, Kivan Debayin Lov Shita. Since we don't answer this question, Naktinon L'chumra. As we said throughout this Masechta, we don't have an answer over here. Nedarim is Adin Daraisa, and we have to go L'chumra. The Eino Mefer, the husband can only be made for his section. El Mishum Devar Mishabino Leveina. That is allowed to be made for. That's what the Ran concludes. However, he says, V'ikuman Diomar, then he the Lov Shita Hacha. There is a mandate that says that while we don't answer it now, there is an answer given elsewhere. I am in the rest of this run for that other option. With this, we conclude today's share.